I appreciated Jeremy's words this morning, preparing our minds for the observing of the Lord's Supper, and it was great to see Carter and Coulter there assisting. It's wonderful to see everyone this morning as it is raining, I believe, but we're happy to be indoors and dry, and where it's great to come together on this day. I appreciate every one of you for your presence here as we gather together as the body of Christ to worship and exalt God and to proclaim His Word and to come together that we might draw closer to one another and encourage and build up each other in our lives this morning. And we can be assured that the Lord is present with us as He has promised that He gathers with us where two or three are gathered together in His name. He is always there in our midst. And we are so excited and so encouraged whenever we have this opportunity to gather together. I'd like to invite you to open your Bible as we now turn to the Scriptures, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And I've chosen this verse because it does bring together the numbers 2 and 4 in the order that the year that we are now beginning, and we are now into the third week of 2024. I have tried to pick several verses from the Bible that messages here that are uplifting to us as we think about the coming of the new year and what God is doing, and to think of it in terms of God is going to be doing more in 24, and we know that God is always active and that He is exceeding our expectations in the things that God is doing. We don't always know all that God is doing, of course, but in our own lives, as we look back to one year ago and look forward to what is ahead, we can be confident God has wonderful things in store for each one of us in this coming year. So this morning we're going to be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the message, we do not lose heart. This statement is made twice here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. So I believe it is a good theme for us to be considering that as we enter into the new year, we do not lose heart, meaning we do not give up, we do not get discouraged, we do not quit in our service to our Lord, and confident in what He is doing, not only in our lives, but in the world and in the lives of others around us. So I invite your attention this morning as we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this chapter will go along with the other verses that we have pointed to, that we want to have a forward vision as we look at the new year, and hopeful and optimistic and enthusiasm as we approach the new year, so that we don't fall into the pattern of another year that we lose that joy and we lose that excitement about life itself, and not seeing that the Lord is doing these amazing things. So we first of all looked at Proverbs 20:24, and it pointed out there that a person's steps are directed by the Lord. And that means that you and I can look at our lives as the coming of this year, that God is directing our steps and Christ is directing our steps. So we want to approach it in that way as we think about it. And then in Psalm 24, we talked about this last week, that in Psalm 24, we find that the King of Glory is coming in among us in His presence with His people. And that was represented by the things that were stated there in Psalm chapter 24 by King David. But he acknowledged the King of Glory. And he acknowledged the higher of God, being the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The one who has created all things is willing to step down and come among us and join with us as His people. And that is true of Jesus Christ when He came into this world. But it is true, as I say today, that as we come together here with God to worship Him, He is present with us. He's not a God a distant, a far off from us. He is a God who joins with us. And as we go into the new year, we want to think, we have the King of Glory who is with us. How can we not be excited about that? So today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are going to be looking now at the thought that we do not lose heart. So beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's turn there and look at the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul, let me just say this, it gives us really three good, strong reasons why we do not lose hope, or we do not lose heart, as he puts it here, in our lives as Christians. Now, we might say that there are many reasons that each one of us could be discouraged as we enter this year. And in our lives, from time to time, there are things that arise, challenges we face, that it's easy for us to become disheartened and to become discouraged. It might be personal reasons of health or finances, or it might be relationships that we are dealing with, or someone in our family who is going through something very difficult. I was just speaking with Yao's daughter, May, in the lobby before coming in, and I appreciate how she brings her father every week here to services, but I asked her how's things going in her life and her family, and she shared with me that her son, who's 28 years old, his name is Lucky, is dealing with a brain tumor. And apparently he's already had a surgery on this. And due to that surgery, he has had a memory loss, and especially a short-term memory loss. So she asked us to be praying for him as something that really has been difficult for their family this year. But I'm sure there are things like this in every one of our lives, that if we dwell on those things, we could easily become discouraged. We could begin to lose heart. And what the Apostle Paul is explaining here in his life and the lives of other apostles and ministers of the gospel, that they did not lose heart. He did not lose heart. And he gives the reasons for this here in chapter 4. And the first reason is because of the confidence he had in the truth of the gospel. So let's begin by looking at the first few verses here, beginning with verse 1. He said, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul here begins by saying, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. The Apostle Paul could look at his own life, for example, and at one time he was an unbeliever. He had been even persecuting the church of the saints and arresting them, throwing them in prison, wreaking havoc upon the church. But the Lord appeared to him on the way to Damascus, and the mercy of God allowed him to receive forgiveness and to have a new life in Jesus Christ. And the ministry that he was given, that he would be sent to the Gentiles to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul thought of his life this way, that God had been so merciful to bless him. He thinks, how can I lose heart in view of that fact? I'm just so thankful, in other words, that God counted me faithful to put me into this position, that I could be able to serve as part of this ministry of the new covenant of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says we do not lose heart. We do not become despairing. We do not lose courage and become discouraged and want to quit. Never. That would never be the case when we consider the importance of the gospel and the opportunity that God grants to us to have a part in that. The truth of the gospel, and thinking about what the truth of the gospel is capable of being a blessing in the lives of each person to whom it comes in contact, and of course, depending on their receptivity to the message of the gospel. But as he thinks about his life, he wants to make one thing clear, that in our proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Christ, there are some things that we do not do. Speaking of himself, he said, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, the Apostle Paul is perhaps implying that there are others who this is exactly how they operate. That in handling of the word of God, they do that with craftiness and with deceitfulness and underhanded tactics and motives that they might employ in order to present Christ to people, but they actually have some underlying agenda there that it is not really what it appears to be. So it is really a way of tricking people into hearing the message of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul may have even been accused of this at times in his own life by even the Corinthians, that some of them may have begun to have suspicion of, is Paul really who he claims to be? And does he have some underlying motive? But the Apostle Paul is saying, no, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We do not do any of these things. In our effort to preach the gospel, we preach it as plainly and honestly and straightforward as we know to do, that the message of Christ may be heard to as many people as possible. And it's important for us to understand the point that is being made here, that true ministers of the gospel, there are these things that we do not do. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. We do not corrupt the Word of God. We do not try to use the Word of God in a deceitful manner to somehow take advantage of people and to either take from them money or other things that could lift ourselves up. We simply do not do that. Anyone who is of any integrity as a minister of the gospel, we do not use deceitful ways or methods or insincere tactics in the way that we go about presenting the message of Christ. It is just a message of Jesus Christ died for our sins. That God sent His own Son into this world that He might lay down His life by dying upon the cross, that He might provide a means of salvation to all mankind. So that is the message, and it is the message of salvation. It is the truth. So the Apostle Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, why is it then that not everyone believes the gospel? Why does not everyone accept this message? Well, he is saying that the answer to that is very simple, that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. There was, for example, at the time the Apostle Paul was speaking this to the Corinthians, there were those who had come up of the Jewish faith in the Old Testament, that many of them did not see the truth of the gospel. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that they had a veil on their hearts whenever the reading of the scriptures in their own synagogues, that many of these things actually pointed to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, how He would suffer and die. But he said they had a veil hidden over their hearts, and they could not see, though their minds were blinded. Satan does this with many people, that he has them blinded. And as far as being able, their ability to really see the truth and receive it, they have a veil. And it is covering over their hearts where they don't see the beauty of the gospel of Christ. So the Apostle Paul is saying, we understand that is one reason that some people, maybe many people, have not received the gospel. That is no reason for us to be discouraged. That is no reason for us to give up. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, whenever the gospel is presented to a person, it is able to take that person who is in the darkness and shine the light to them. If they will just take the time to listen to the message of Christ. Now, we were listening on a YouTube of a woman who is a professor, a college professor at a university. But she was sharing the example that for many years in her life, she was an atheist. And she was just totally against Christianity. She was totally against God. But someone kept inviting her, a good friend kept inviting her to come to a Bible study, to come to a worship service, and she was sharing how as she did, and she began to actually read the Bible and to consider it, she said, someone said, why not read the book of Proverbs? Suggested to her to read the book of Proverbs. And she did, almost reluctantly. But what struck her was the amount of depth of wisdom for her life that she began to see as she read from the book of Proverbs. And it completely changed her from darkness to light in her life. And that is what the gospel is able to do. Now, many people have this veil hidden over their hearts, and the world is dark, and Satan has control over their minds, as it were. But that is no reason for us to give up hope. Of that person may hear the gospel. That person can still be reached. So his point is, number one, we do not lose heart because we have confidence in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. And that if there are those who have not yet heard it and believed, we can attribute that the God of this world is working hard on that person to keep them from hearing that message and really understanding what the implications of it are for their lives. But there's a second reason. Now, the Apostle Paul is also, we do not lose hope, and that is because of this aspect that God has put this treasure in us as human beings, as weak human beings. And the Apostle Paul used the illustration here that God has put the treasure in earthen vessels. Now let's think about that for a moment. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. As we think about the use of earthen vessels, well, we understand that at this time in the first century, many people used very inexpensive pottery that was made of clay. And these were very inexpensive that the common person could afford them. Now, if you were a wealthy person, you might have a vessel of glass or some gold or silver or a box like that to store your valuables in. But for most people, they stored their valuables in pots of clay. In fact, it's been found in archaeological findings of the artifacts of ancient history in many other parts of the world that day that people actually took these pots of clay and they stored their precious valuables in them and buried them in the ground or hid them in a cave. And that was a very common practice. Paul is pointing this out, though, and he's using that as a comparison that that is what God has done with us. That God has taken this treasure of the salvation message of the gospel and he has given it and entrusted it to us as mere human beings, that we are like those vessels of clay and earthenware vessels, that we are very weak and we are very fragile and we are subject to discouragement and we are subject to pain and we are imperfect in many ways. God, the amazing thing is he took this treasure and he puts it into earthen pots. He gives it to us, in other words, that we might have that opportunity and that responsibility to take his message and share it with others. And in doing so, the glory is not bestowed to us, it is bestowed to God. What people are able to actually see then is the glory of God in this message of salvation that comes through to them. It comes from a human vessel that is flawed in many ways, that is a mere human being and one that grows old and dies, that our bodies break down over time, and yet the treasure is what is on display. That is the thing that is a beauty for us to behold. Now, as we think about that, the Apostle Paul is pointing out for us here, if I can get this to keep working, he says here, we are hard pressed on every side. Now he's referring to himself, other Christians, other evangelists, ministers of the gospel. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You see, what he's saying here is that oftentimes we as apostles, we are struck down. We are attacked. We are thrown to the ground. It is almost like on Friday Night SmackDown on television that you have the WWE, you know, or the WWE, the World Wrestling Association, and they take them and they throw them on the ground. But that is how the Apostle Paul is saying, that's how we're being treated. And yet, we're not destroyed. We're not crushed. You could take these clay pots, for example, and you could wrap your valuables in them and put them in the earth, and maybe someone did crush them. Maybe there was an earthquake. Maybe something caused that clay pot to be crushed, and yet the things in it were still valuable. They were not, because that protected them. So even though we are fragile as human beings, and we suffer persecution, and we are opposed and mocked and ridiculed sometimes, he's saying, yet we have not given up, and we are not defeated, and we're not going to be defeated. He said, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh, so then death is working in us, but life in you. So the apostles, he's saying, we're carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus. We have an aspect of that as Jesus died and he suffered, some of that suffering is now being transferred to us, because here we are the representative of taking this message. And so some of that same animosity that was poured out on Christ is given to us, and yet God is being glorified. So we're not discouraged, he's saying. We do not lose hope. We do not give up. Even though we may be attacked, we still have this treasure that God has imparted to us, and we're able to protect that and take that and share it with people. And we don't receive the glory. God receives the glory. So that's exciting for the Apostle Paul as he thinks about what he is able to be a part of. And we're able to be a part of this today as followers of Jesus Christ. We're able to share in that same aspect of the treasure and sharing that message with others. But the third reason the Apostle Paul is saying we're not to be discouraged, not to lose heart, is what he talks about now in the final few verses here, in verses 13 through 18. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written by David in the Psalms. The Apostle Paul loved the Psalms. And we should all love the Psalms. The Psalms speak to us in the level of our hearts and our emotions and the struggles that we deal with in our lives. And in this case, he is quoting out of Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, David, the psalmist, he was sharing that he was suffering afflictions, and therefore he knew that God would hear his prayer, and he cried out to God for help. A very simple act of faith on the part of the psalmist, that he had enemies, he had those that were antagonistic of him, and therefore what did he do? He knew that God would hear his prayer, and he called out. He said, we have that same spirit of faith. I believed, and therefore I spoke. I believed in God. And whenever I have my struggles that I'm dealing with in my life, I can always turn to Him, and He will help me in those times. Just like he says here in Psalm 116 and verse 13, he said, I will take up the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He said, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is familiar with that, and that was an encouragement to him in his life. And he said, we have that same spirit of faith, that we're not discouraged, we're not going to give up hope, because we have the Lord who is near, and we can turn to him for help. He said, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. See, the Apostle Paul was never discouraged of these things. He was so looking forward to sharing more and more people coming to know Jesus Christ, and the thanksgiving be abounding to God himself, who is the author of salvation. So he said, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, and this is true for us, the outward man is perishing. And no matter how many times we go to the gym, no matter how much we put that lotion on our skin or that coloring in our hair, the fact is the outward man is perishing. But he said the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know what it was that the Apostle Paul did not give up hope and give up and quit serving God? Some people might have come to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and said, Paul, why do you do it? Why do you keep doing it? Everywhere you go, they are attacking you. They are throwing you in prison. Why do you keep doing these things? Because he's not looking at the outward, he's looking at the inward. He's not looking at the temporary, he's looking at the eternal. His focus is on Christ. His focus is not on himself. And therefore, he is able to see what God is doing. So he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's having this ability to have your eyes focus on the eternal, on the unseen, that enables us to realize, I will never give up my faith in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how dark things get, no matter how much opposition there may be to Christ and the cause of Christ in the world, the world around us may turn away, but we will have our vision on the eternal, what God has promised, and He is faithful to us, and we know that His gospel is true, and His gospel can change the hearts of, even if one person hears the gospel and is brought to salvation, it is all worth everything that we might go through in our lives. Now, you know, as I think about mothers, to me is a great example of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Mothers, to me, are so awesome. They are so amazing that their life is about bringing this little child up and making sure they're okay. And so moms make so many sacrifices. They're not concerned about themselves. They're just wanting this new little child to have a good life. And they are all about helping them grow up healthy and happy and have a good life. And, you know, I can remember when our first daughter was born, being there in the hospital that morning and holding her in my arms the first time. And there was two thoughts that came to me at the time. One is, I am a dad, and it is so amazing what I am about to experience. The second one was, God, I'm so thankful You did not make me a woman. Because I had seen what Karen had been through during that whole process. But when we think about moms and what they go through, and yesterday we were able to go up to the hospital and spend time with our daughter, Angie, and our little granddaughter, Sylvie. And most of you know that she had an operation this week, and they had to open up the top of her scalp and take a piece of skull from the back and transfer it so that it would fill in properly. But she's doing wonderful. But Angie was telling us that, you know, when they brought her out of ICU, that they put them not in a private room, but in a crowded room with another family and another child, which was fine. And there are not enough beds maybe to go around. But she was doing good. But for 3 days, really, they could not get much rest. So they were really exhausted. There's not enough room in the for Jeremy and Angie to be there. But none of that mattered to them, because the important thing was little Sylvie being healthy and getting her back where they know that she's taken care of and she's going to have a good life in front of her. That really is what was motivating the Apostle Paul, really, when you think about it, that his life, he wasn't concerned about those things, how it was affecting him. He's thinking about, I can take the message and share it with these other people, and it brings the darkness to the light in their hearts, and Jesus Christ now is their Savior and their Lord, and they have their new creation in Christ. So whatever is happening to him is of secondary. It's temporary. It's of a light affliction. The important thing is to take the message and share it with other people. To me, that is the key of why we do not lose heart we do not get discouraged. The things that are going on in the world around us, we know who we are. We know who God is. We know what He is doing. And our mission is very simple: to stand firm, to not give ground, and to share that message through our own example, our own faith that we can display, and the sharing of the testimony of the good news of what Jesus Christ is and what He has done and what He can be to the life of this person that we want to help. Thank you for your attention this morning. If you are here this morning and you're subject in any way to the truth of Jesus Christ in your life, we want to extend the invitation to you this morning to come to Him, to renew your commitment with Him in your heart and in your life, to be willing to follow Him, to stand for Him, to be unashamed of Him in your life, because God has put the treasure of His message in you and in me. As earthen vessels, we are weak. We are subject to decay and aging and death. And yet we have this opportunity of this message that is given to us to be able to take it and share it with someone else. If you're subject, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Sometimes morning when it's like a dark, I
fly away,
fly away,
fly away.